Hi, it's Diane, and it is Wednesday, October 12th. It's a 1 o'clock group. I'm here so far with Tess and with Kevin, and so far that's it. So since this is trying to remember, Kevin, you've been on a group before, is that right, one of these calls?
Yeah, I listen along with Maya usually.
Okay, awesome, cool. Well, so just, a reminder, because I know there's a lot of new folks that might be listening today. I just want to kind of go through again the format of the group to kind of set the stage for everybody. You know, we start with a check-in. I always love for folks to celebrate if they can during the check-in. It just kind of brings the energy up and helps us to focus. We know that focusing on what's working helps us to get motivated and get set for doing some more work. And then we take aim. And last time we learned a little bit more about taking aim. And so as folks are still learning how to take aim, we might spend a little bit more time there. But then we're going to do a teaching. And today we're talking about executive function. And the section of the workbook we're on is page, I think it's 21 through 23. And so we'll do some teaching and have some conversation about just the information that I'm sharing around executive function. And then we'll do some laser coaching as we have time to do it. It's a small group, so I suspect we'll have some time to kind of really dig in and roll up our sleeves with the two of you. And then we'll do a formal checkout with a workbook. So with that, any questions on logistics? Are either of you having hard times getting into anything? You guys are all set up. Tess, you've been around for a while, so.
Yeah, I think we're fine.
Good. All right. Awesome. So, Tess, can you start us by checking in?
Okay. Well, I apologize because I'm looking back at my old binder, and I haven't printed out a new guidebook. I don't think I had the notes from last week or the last time. I apologize. I'm scattered at this moment. In my own brain.
It happens all the time. So what have you been noticing lately about what's going on at home?
I think the biggest thing is still just being a parent with ADD. I think that's still my biggest challenge. But I, and I'm trying to work on self-care and treating my own ADD as best I can, and it's imperfect. But I am, one thing that I'm doing now is I'm reaching out more, and I'm really turning to resources and sources like what you guys provide to help me to really learn more about ADD versus running away from it or thinking that I've got it down or beating myself up because I have it type of thing. But I do notice that I've been much more compassionate and patient with my own kids, and that's really helped to bring more calm and peace in the home. And I've been able to check my own emotions so that I'm not, going off and, screaming or yelling and, reacting versus responding. I think I'm able to be a little more calm, take a deep breath, take time to pause and think before I act, and just getting more curious about my own self too. And then doing all that, focusing on me, I'm able to then look at my kids and just be that much more, I guess, like I said, compassionate and patient and understanding. And that alone, has helped a lot. Because otherwise, I can just go into that stress mode or that highly charged, I don't know, I shouldn't generalize or whatever, but
that's no small feat. It takes a lot of work and a lot of patience, and just even kind of mustering up compassion where frustration was there is not always an easy thing to do. So I think it's the great thing to celebrate, Tess, and you're focusing on self-management and self-care are great places to focus. And part of this is about us, and part of it is about our kids, and it's about figuring out I'm hopeful that the conversation today, where we're kind of rolling back and doing a little executive function research, could be helpful for you, kind of looking at what's going on with you as well as your kids.
Yeah, and actually the kids are doing well. I think they're doing much better. You know, they're turning in assignments, they're getting homework done. It's just, you know, I just have to be patient and understand that they've got their timing of it. But I guess it's, as long as it's getting done and submitted on time, I think that's fine for now, you know. I used to get anxious before because it's like, you know, I would want them to get it done on my schedule. Then I would get frustrated when they're playing games or taking breaks and not finishing the homework. And that's very unrealistic of me. Or I don't think that's not a good expectation to have.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, well, thank you for the check-in. Kevin, what about you?
Well, I'd say Daniel's doing pretty well overall. One issue we're trying to figure out is he's very kind of up and down with his grades, and it's all effort. I mean, he's bright enough to get, you know, I think mostly A's if he just applies himself and bothers to do it. So he has a tutor a couple times a week, and he works really well with her and, you know, gets his work done. So in science, he's had like a couple of A's, you know, on tests, which is great, and he studied and all that. And then he had this, this packet he was supposed to do. It was easier, and he kept like procrastinating and just wouldn't like do it, you know, thoroughly. And he got an F on it, so it like dragged his overall grade down a lot. And so we're kind of trying to figure that out. I mean, it's it seems like when he's in like a study skills class at school, he works and gets his stuff done. But he has a real mental block about doing actual homework at home. He just drags his heels, and so any suggestions?
Well, so that might be So that might be a great place to take aim, Kevin. If you know, it sounds like there's some opportunity there to really get curious. It might be a good topic, good part of the conversation today as we look at executive function. The thing that's coming up for me, I remember distinctly we were talking to a group of teachers in last year, and we were talking about the distinction between intellect and executive function, which is the topic we're going to talk about today, and how, you know, our kids' ability to be successful in school is partly how smart they are, right, and their intellect. And part of it is their executive function, which is the stuff we're going to talk about today, which is the how, you know, getting your brain to do the things that you know that you should do or that you want to do or that, you know, or that your parents want you to do or whatever it is. And we asked this group of teachers, it's like, what percentage of school success is intellect and what percentage of school success is executive function? And they said something like 70 or 80% is executive function. And so, you know, that's the challenge with these kids is it's not about being smart enough. Because a lot of these kids are gifted even.
Yeah.
And it's really about the stuff of getting their brain to do the stuff of school. And that's really kind of what the conversation is going to be about today. And so I'm going to kind of challenge you to sit with that and say, you know, instead of he won't, it could be something like he's having a hard time or he can't or, you know, whatever feels comfortable for you. But I think that subtle shift of what, you know, how willing are you, Kevin, to say it's hard for him instead of if he'd just try harder, he could. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
How does that feel to kind of shift the perspective a little bit?
Well, I mean, I think we realize that, you know, it's tough for him to do it. And, I mean, what we're trying to do is try to, you know, figure out, so we've got incentives for him, so, you know, for good grades and stuff, he gets to earn more, you know, with his allowance than, and all. So, and I think those have worked, you know, fairly well. So, yeah, I mean, I understand that it's not, he's not just, you know, being obstinate, you know, that it's hard for him to do. But, so, yeah, I mean, so if he really pushes, we say, okay, you know, it's your grade and it's your, you know, your responsibility, and and that's fine. But we usually ask him quite a, you know, we ask him a few times, and then we'll like circle back later. And but he's still not quite there. I think he's got this thing in his mind where he can get all his work done with his tutor and at school, and he can get a lot of it done. But so it's, I don't know. So.
So how do you feel about taking aim on helping helping him to get homework done at home?
Oh, we're willing to help.
Is that the right place to do?
Oh yeah, we're definitely willing to help him.
No, I'm asking a different question. So it's kind of like the area you're taking aim on is getting homework done at home.
Right.
Does that feel like the right place to take aim?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay, good. All right, Tess, where do you want to take aim this week?
I'm very much interested in just learning about more about the executive functioning, and I completely agree, because I just wanted to say, you know, as a student myself, I mean, in the past, I wasn't diagnosed until well into my 40s, and had I known back then that I did have ADD, then I would have done so much better in school. And I can't tell you, it had nothing to do with my being lazy or my resisting to do the work. There were times when I desperately wanted to, you know, to study and really understand and get the material, and I wanted A's. I wanted to achieve. I wanted the very best. But I just couldn't get my brain, I don't know, to function, to work. Like, I'd read a page, I would study in the library, or even be really quiet and had no distractions, and yet my brain just, you know, I'd read a page, and then I'd have to read it again, because just nothing would get through.
Yeah.
And that's the whole thing that you're talking about with executive functioning. It's not that we don't want to, but I guess I wasn't activated at that time. I didn't really know, and then the anxiety comes in, and so then there's a lot of it's to the point where maybe I'm becoming overly anxious, and then I really can't think and process anything.
It's great to hear you just describe that, Tess, because I'm not an adult with ADHD, and I want to have compassion for my kid. And listening to you say, okay, it's like I want to get my brain to focus, and I don't know how to. And I think that's part of what I think we'll get out of today's conversation is maybe a little bit of a microscope into what's going on, and to know that activating is the key, right? So the part of your brain that says,
right,
I want to read, is not connected to the part of your brain that actually can process the words on the page. How do you activate that connection is what you're talking about. So so it's not clear to me where you want to take aim, Tess. Sorry, I might have missed that at the beginning.
Yeah, you know, I didn't really specify, but I think it's because, I just feel like I can't be. I'm having a hard time. It's like the blind leading the blind. I guess still I have to focus on me, because I'm wanting to be a role model and guide them. But if I don't have the understanding myself, if I'm not able to control my own executive functions to be organized and to, you know, do the right things and to stay focused on the priorities that I have, because it's very easy for me myself to get distracted.
There's quite a few things there. So I understand the lens on you and focusing on you. So you've got prioritization, you've got organization, you've got distractibility, you've got understanding your own ADHD. I mean, what is there a particular area that you think that you could that might be easier for you to step up and be a little bit of a role model, or is there an area that you find particularly frustrating that you could kind of say, I'd like to be able to be more organized in X? Does that make sense?
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess it is in the area. I mean, I do want to focus on executive function, but you're wanting me to specify that one specific area in it.
I think it's easier, right? So we can say, because it's kind of like it's like with a kid, if you reward him for being kind all day long, there's going to be some moment that he has a hard time doing it, and he's going to end up being defeated because he couldn't do it 100% of the time. But if you focus on, you know, being kind from you know, after dinner when we're all playing games together, you're going to have a different amount of success. So for you, is there a particular area where you think you could, you know, either feels like it's really important to you or you are motivated to make a change? And we always start where the motivation lives, so that would be a good place to start.
I think, I guess, just maybe prioritizing what needs to be done. Well, see, this is where I'm confused. I need to somehow get my day prioritized, and maybe finding out what are the critical things, or even just the few things that I need to get done in the day.
So it sounds like you want to take aim on getting, yeah, on identifying and acting on those things that are most important every day.
Yeah.
All right? Okay.
Right. Thanks for helping me to clarify or zone in.
That's all right. That's part of this process. So sometimes it's hard because it feels like, oh, I want to take aim on this. I was just on the phone with another mom, and she's like, I took aim on this last week, and then, you know, like 6 hours later, I thought I wanted to take aim on something else. And it's, you know, it's easy to kind of shift around. So, all right. So we're on, I don't know if you guys both have a copy of your workbook. Do you?
Yeah, I can look online.
Kevin, do you have yours as well?
You know, I don't. Let me, I'll see if I can find it. Just go ahead. Otherwise, I'll...
Or I can send you an email real quick if I've got your email address. Let me send it to you super quick.
Go ahead. I think I can find it.
You can find it?
Okay.
Great. So, you know, we're talking about executive function. And as I was mentioning before, you know, executive function is the part of the brain that tells us what to do, when to do it. I think about it as being kind of the director of the brain. So you can imagine your brain is an orchestra, and there's all these different things that it needs to do at certain times, and not, you know, you have to start playing and stop playing, and you know, connect and make sure everything is blending, and you know, if you think about kind of the dynamic of an orchestra and what it takes to kind of make sure everybody's doing what they're supposed to do, the executive function of the brain is that for our brain. And in the ADHD brain, or in a brain that's got a lot of anxiety or other challenges, a lot of times that part of the brain is the most taxed. It's unactivated. And so we really want to focus in on understanding what are the different components of executive function. And we do this really in the second step of the model. So last week we talked about taking aim, which was the first part of the model. And once we've taken aim, we want to get curious. We want to ask the question about what's going on. And we want to look at it from a bunch of different perspectives, but one of the most powerful perspectives is from the perspective of executive function. So what's really going on in our child's brain? If our child's having a hard time turning in their, or, you know, getting their homework turned in or getting their homework done, what's really going on from a brain perspective? We know our kids have executive function challenges. We know they have ADHD, anxiety, whatever they have. But what's really literally going on in the brain? And in touch, you gave that great example of activating, and how, you know, it doesn't matter how much you want to read something. If your brain's not activated, you can't process the words on the page. And so the framework that we use is really kind of a combination of two frameworks that we've found are really very helpful. One is from Dr. Thomas Brown, who's a Yale professor, and he's really, I think, kind of the grandfather of executive function. He was the first one to kind of draw out a model and get really people thinking about the different components of it. And then Dr. Mark Burton is another great presence in our community, and really kind of talks about, you know, the real, you know, where the rubber meets the road with some of these executive functions. And so we really took this, you know, the information from both of those sources, and on page 21 is kind of a verbal description of some of this, which would be, might be helpful for some of you who like to read information. And then on page 22 is more of a visual depiction of what's going on with executive function. And so I tend to be more visual, so I'm going to use the chart on 22, but feel free to go back in your spare time. And this chart is really designed to be an exercise. And so we're going to kind of play with it a little bit today since there's a small group. I think we probably can even maybe do the exercise. But it's really a model for really looking at all of the challenges of executive function. And there are six areas of executive function: activation, action, memory, focus, emotion, and energy. And so that could be, you know, you can see there that task management is activation, action management is action, information management is memory, effort management is energy, and attention management is focus, emotion management is emotion. And then underneath each of those are a couple examples of how that executive function gap might show up. So if you have a child who has memory issues because of their ADHD or their anxiety or other complexities, it might show up in forgetfulness. It might show up because they have a difficult time writing essays, or they might have difficulties in math. They might have a hard time kind of the cause and effect. We always talk about the fact that our kids don't always learn from their mistakes, and so some of the consequences we put in place don't change their behaviors. Part of that is working memory and the fact that their brain doesn't remember, oh, if I pull the cat's tail, I'm going to get in trouble or I'm going to get bit. You know, that part of the brain doesn't connect quite, and that's a memory issue. Action management is, you know, the handwriting and self-regulation, hyperactivity, those sorts of things. Activation has a lot of the planning or organizing, time management, sequencing. Focus is where distractibility, paying attention, handling transition, you know, all these things. So in each one of these, there's different challenges that show up. And so what the exercise that I'd like you guys to consider doing is to pick one particular area for one person. So, Kevin, I don't know if you want to just do your son test. You can do yourself or one of your kids. You know, but pick a particular challenge area. And the one that I think about is kind of mornings at our house. And, you know, my daughter has a difficult time with activation, right? And so I know that she has a problem with activation, and it leads to a challenge of getting out the door on time. So if I look then and say, okay, well, what's really going on in the morning? Is it about, does she plan ahead? Does she know what she needs to do? Is she focusing on the top stuff, the prioritization? Does she have a hard time getting started, but once she's going, she can get through everything? Is she taking too long doing certain things and taking, you know, and losing track of time and having a difficult time with time management? Is she procrastinating? Or it might be that she's having a hard time and getting distracted by other stuff in the morning, like her iPhone, which would pop me down into focus, which might, you know, mean that there's some attention management issue there. It might be that she tends to forget, oh my gosh, I got to remember to pack my lunch, and she forgets to do that the night before, which would be a planning piece that impacts memory. So I'm kind of just using that as an example where I'm kind of poking at, you know, what are all the executive function challenges that lead to my daughter's challenge of getting out the door on time. And often when she's late, it raises some intense emotions, and she ends up arguing with me, and we end up in an argument, and then the emotion management shows up. So, you know, from the pillow to the bus stop, there's probably every single aspect of the executive function challenges in my house. But I'm curious kind of for each of you to take a minute and look at these charts and kind of say, okay, what is the key challenge area, and then what are some of the other things that are coming into play? So I'll be quiet for a minute and let you guys process. And when you're ready, would love to hear you kind of talk out loud about a situation and some of this stuff on this executive function chart.
Well, I'd say, you know, there's a few things, but focusing on one, I'd probably want to focus on the task management. So the planning and organization and prioritizing. I think time management, he can do it, you know, but he needs help. And
yeah, that's an area that would, you know, tie in with the homework that I mentioned before.
Okay. So when you think about kind of him doing homework at home, one of the things that you mentioned was that he has kind of an idea that he can get it all done at school or in the morning or whatever else. And so is that, you know, what word would you attach to that of all these on the activation?
Well, I think it's a little complicated in that I think he's, you know, getting more mature, and I think he does want to do it himself. He doesn't want us to, you know, to kind of hassle him. It's tricky because, you know, often he does, and he'll, you know, nail the test or whatever. But then sometimes he doesn't. So it's just kind of inconsistent. I think, you know, part of the issues, you know, Maya sometimes is used to, you know, in the past, you know, kind of hassling him about the homework, and he kind of, you know, rebels, and sometimes it can, like, backfire. So it's a little tricky. I mean, I'm leaning towards, you know, letting him, and I think we're leaning towards letting him do it. We just kind of check the, you know, the grades online and everything, and any emails we might get from the teachers. And what we're trying to do is have him do it, you know, do it himself, because I think that's his preference. You know, he's doing it sometimes, but missing some. And I guess,
yeah,
from your past comments, that what we're trying to do is, you know, like, compliment him when he does a good job, and try to focus mostly on that. And so I don't know. We've definitely seen, you know, improvement in all, but you know, in process, it's not.
Well, so there's a couple things coming up for me as you're talking. One is kind of this idea of, you know, can you continue to just focus on what's working and help him to be motivated by success? The other thing is you know, how could you help him to create a plan for himself for how he's going to, you know, and hold him accountable to a plan rather than holding him accountable for an end product? You know, so, for example, it might be that every day when he comes home, he needs to make a decision about when he's going to do his homework. He needs to have a way to, you know, organize it all, or at least enumerate it all, and then make a decision about when it's going to be done. And so, you know, if you could hold him accountable to doing that every day, as opposed to making it a particular way that he does it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So give him the, have him set it up the way he wants. But as long as he sets it up, and then he has to follow through on that.
Yeah, so the example would be like when my son comes home, I say, you know, what's your plan for your homework tonight? And he says, I've got this, this, and this. And he's a senior, so he's in a different kind of place. And I'm going to, you know, play games until 6, and then we're going to eat dinner, and I'm going to do my homework after dinner. And that's my plan. And I'm like, great. Sounds like you got a plan. At dinner, you know, that kind of thing. So instead of, and then because part of what we're doing as our kids get older is you're holding them accountable, you're helping them to figure out, I call it figuring out how to figure it out, right? So it's kind of like it's not just telling them what to do and getting them to follow the directions. It's about how do they then set their own pace. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. Yeah, I think that's something we could try. The other little strategy he's learned over time is just default comment when we ask him is, oh, I don't have any homework. Oh, it's all done. So that's just good. And then, you know, if we have to dig into it, and you find out there are often, sometimes there's nothing, but, you know, usually there's something. And
yeah.
So
if you go back, so let's go back. If we were going to take aim on that, Kevin, and we say, so what do you think is going on? Is it working memory? Is it he's distracted by the fun thing he wants to do instead of his homework? What do you think is really going on?
That's, yeah, I think
hard
it's
for him to remember.
He just, you know, he's very social and very active, and he just wants to go out and have fun. basically.
Yeah, so it's distracting. I mean, it's hard to even remember what homework you have to do when you're thinking about playing with your friends, right? So if you were going to create a scaffolding for him and kind of instead of just, you know, and make hold him accountable, what would be a step between kind of double-checking everything and just letting him go about his business?
That's a good question. We've been trying to figure that one out. Well, I guess he could show us his planner.
Yeah. So the thing is, so you're saying to kind of insert yourself in a process as a checking thing. Remind me, Kevin, how old is he?
He's 14. He's a freshman.
14, right. So one of the things is, so if, as a freshman, part of this is holding him accountable. So you could start the conversation by saying, you know, I notice that sometimes when you tell me that you don't have homework, you're missing something. And I know that you're not always doing it on purpose. You might be excited about something else. You might have forgotten. But ultimately, you end up getting the short end of it because you get to school the next day and you realize that you've got an assignment that you thought you didn't have. So, you know, then you're like, well, what do you think you could do to make sure that you've got everything? And so then that might be, well, I'd like you to check my planner, or I think I need to check my planner, or I need to check in with my friends, or whatever it is. But it's kind of like you're putting the problem in front of him and saying, this is what I see. What do you want to do about it?
Okay, that sounds like a good idea.
So what about that would help kind of change the dynamic for the two of you guys?
Say that again. Sorry, I was writing something.
So that's all right. So how would that change the dynamic?
That could change the dynamic. I guess the idea of having him be more accountable for it rather than arguing with us.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like a good plan.
Yeah. All right, Tesh, what comes up for you on this chart?
I'm sorry, I needed to unmute. For me, definitely the activation is my biggest struggle. And just in looking, especially looking back on this past week, was really, I think the biggest challenge was just with me, knowing what my priorities are. I have a big problem with procrastination, but everything just ties in here. I love how this list is here. If I don't understand what my priorities are, if I've forgotten what my priorities are, if I don't have that listed or right in front of my face, and I'm acknowledging it, then I can't carry out a plan, and then I can't get started on anything. I'm not organized. I don't even know where to begin. And then my time, before I know it, is just out the door doing other things that aren't really part of my priorities. I say all this, but at the same time, I did have successes personally during this past week. I had a lot. I had a couple of things that aren't on my normal routine or agenda that I've had to do, but because I waited until the last minute to do it, it took up a big chunk of time, and so I wasn't able to get around to doing other things that would have been ideal, although not really the priority at that moment. But I think overall what I'm wanting to change is I really need to just sit down and prioritize and discover what I truly want to get done in the big – but it's hard enough, like, how do I prioritize? There's so many different ways. It's like, what are my goals? What do I want to accomplish? And then there's so many different areas where I want to make changes. But I think just in the day-to-day, I think I need to, have, a critical task list for, each day. And then, or But I guess that also starts with what are my priorities. I'm having a hard time just getting started.
So hang on just a second. So part of this is you're going to have a hard time activating around prioritizing, because that's just, it's hard to kind of go, well, I could do it this way, or I could do it that way, or there's going to be 7,000 ways a Sunday you could do this. And what you identified for me so beautifully is that when there's a motivation there, like you've got something that comes up at the last minute and it just has to be done, you have no problem getting it done.
Oh, I'm hyper.
And so, yeah. So, and that's the activation piece of it. And so the question is, you know, how do you apply some of that activation to some of the more mundane aspects of life? If you have a list, is that motivating? If you have a reward, is that motivating? If you have a deadline, is that motivating? Is it, you know, so it's kind of like understanding how can you apply some of what you know about what helps you to activate to the rest of your life.
I know I do really well with deadlines. And so but unfortunately, it's like I'll do something the day before, and yet, you know, some projects, it just takes, you know, I've got to plan ahead of time and sequence, or, you know, or do parts, divide the task into smaller parts, but then I should be able to create deadlines, you know, mini deadlines, I'm right now, I hear that, and then just, you know, breaking down
it sounds like intellectually you get this, right? So I need to divide it up into smaller pieces, and I need to make sure that if I get something done the day before that I have a set of what I'm going to do the next day. I mean, so intellectually you get this. What is it? Is there is it all executive function? Is there some energy behind this? It's kind of like if something's really boring, or what do you think is really going on for you?
Well, like if I look back on this past, I guess like this past, like my son, my junior in high school, you know, he, you know, had an opportunity to apply for the National Honor Society, but then I felt it was my job to look back at all of his service, you know, projects over the past couple of years and his leadership and all of that. And that was hard for me to do because I wasn't organized, and it takes time for me to go back and look at it. And then I'm beating myself up for not staying more on top of it. And I don't know, or I'm feeling that it's not it gets more into the emotional, like I'm thinking it's not good enough. You know.
Yeah, so hang on just a second. It feels like you're starting to spin a little bit. Is that fair?
Yeah. Yes. Okay. No, absolutely.
So can I encourage you to take a deep breath for a second?
Yeah. And I have to say, I mean, I have to be honest and say, I'm just getting up. I've had a very late start this morning. I went to bed. I know this is all part of why my brain's not functioning, because I got very little sleep. I was up till well after 2 o'clock, 2 a.m., and that's not healthy. That's not healthy for my brain. That you know, I get foggy. I'm on a very, very low dose of medication, and I've been thinking for a while that that's not enough, and I try to use coffee to get me going, and I don't know if that's necessarily what I should be doing. And so it's just, I admit I'm having a hard time this morning focusing.
Yeah. Well, and it's hard because it's when you don't get enough sleep and you don't feel great and you're getting a late start and you're already behind the eight ball. So there's some biology here, Tess, and then there's this other piece of it which I heard you just kind of mention in passing, which is I feel like I'm supposed to do it a certain way, or I'm supposed to do it right. And I feel, what's the emotion that comes up when you feel like you're not doing it the way you're supposed to?
Well, yeah, I guess I always think that everything's got to be done perfectly. And then so if I can't do it perfectly, then I get become paralyzed.
Well, and it's hard because it's like you know that your brain has a hard time activating. And you've got a bar that you're holding pretty high, which is I want to do it perfectly because I have a value around excellence, and a lot of us have those values around excellence.
Right.
And then it sounds like what ends up happening is that, you know, when you can do it excellently, it motivates you. But when I don't know, is there some fear in there or some guilt or some emotion
right
in there that makes it hard
mm-hmm
on those other moments? Is that fair?
yeah, and then I sabotage myself, and then I don't do it, or I avoid it, and then get on to the next task or do something else that's easier
right.
and more fun, you know, that I'm good
yeah,
at.
Yeah, because I can do the easy fun stuff all day long. It's the other stuff that's hard. So is this about, you know, giving yourself some grace when things are hard? Is this about being willing to consider that there's something other than perfect? Or is this about really kind of managing your brain in a different way?
I think I need to manage my brain in a different way. Because I know when I'm beating myself up and beat it. I mean, I know the psychological part. I mean, intellectually, I know I've got to just accept myself and be compassionate and kind to myself and not beat myself. I mean, that doesn't help at all to get anything done. But at the same time, if I'm not getting enough sleep, if I'm not eating the protein, if I don't have maybe the right medication or the right dose, then no matter how much I want desire something, it doesn't change the way my, you know, I don't know.
Well, so Tess, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but what it sounds like you really want to take aim on is being a good role model with regards to activating your brain.
Yeah, and so it's hard for me when I get frustrated when I can't even do that myself, and then I project all these, you know, then I get upset with my own kids, you know, because I'm thinking, well, why can't they get it all done and do things the way, but it's done it the way I want, but then I look at myself and I go, I'm struggling in this area very much, you know,
yeah.
in a great
so tell
deal.
Tell me three things that would be different if you were more actively managing your brain activation.
I know for me personally, if I'm well rested and get enough sleep, it's very helpful. I also know, and which I haven't been able to do lately, is exercise. I know that that's very healthy and that's therapeutic and part of the ADD treatment to get the exercise and that, whether that be cardio exercise or whether that be yoga and meditation. I guess meditation is kind of separate, but I know when I'm doing yoga and taking time for meditation and or exercise, my brain is, I'm focused, I'm clear, I'm in just a far better mood without all the distractions or clutter in my mind that I'm able to get focused and do what needs to be done and know that I'm good enough or it's good enough, you know what I mean? I'm not thinking about perfection, I'm just in the flow.
So the perfection gremlin shuts up a little bit when you've got enough exercise and sleep and calm.
Yes.
Definitely. All right. Well, so I'm going to kind of open this back up again, but it sounds like,
I do one big distraction that I could control, which I haven't been able to do because once I get started out. Is social media too. I get on Facebook in the middle of the night. I'm in bed, but then I get on the Facebook and then I can be on for another 2 hours and there goes my sleep. And I know, and then that's when I get upset with my own kids because then they're on, you know, on their iPhones, whatever, and they're texting or whatever with their friends and they're on social media and then it becomes a big time waster. It can be. So I've got to be able to manage that and be aware that, you know what, if I'm going to go on, I set a timer or do something, you know, say 10, 15 minutes, and then that's it, you know, versus 2 hours, you know, because I could just go on and on.
Yeah. Okay, so bottom line for me, Tess, kind of what your aha is from this last little bit of the conversation.
Oh, wait, you want me the bottom line?
Yeah.
I need to, focus on my priorities, which is getting enough sleep, getting exercise, and I've got to prioritize. I've got to make that a priority in my day. And I need to schedule it into my calendar, set that reminder, even for bedtime, my own bedtime, you know, And I've done all that in the past, but then I've gotten away from it, and I think it's time to just get back to the basics and know that unless I'm getting enough sleep, if I'm not and getting the exercise, first of all, then I just can't function. I'm so unproductive.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, okay, so I'm going to open this back up. So I don't know, Kevin, is there anything that kind of came up as you were listening to Tess' process that you want to share?
With regards to her issues?
It doesn't matter. Just anything that's kind of, you know, if you had anything that comes to mind. I know a lot of times when we listen to, you know, it's like for me, when I listen to Tess talk about her own struggles, I think about my kids and kind of how that might apply is kind of where my brain goes.
Well, I do, you know, I don't know. I guess thinking about the overall conversation, I think the trying to put, you know, having, you know, Daniel do more, you know, in terms of, you know, putting it on him in terms of how are you going to handle the homework, you know, for the evening, when are you going to do it, and to let him sort of, you know, quarterback the thing instead of having us trying to tell him. You know, we've been sort of doing that, but you had a couple of suggestions that I think would, you know, would be helpful. So we kind of hold him to his plan rather than hold him to what we're saying.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and so I think that this exercise has been challenging because we've got older, all of us have older kids. This would be a really great taking this exercise back to our kids and saying, okay, I noticed you're having a hard time with X. Let's look at this chart and see if we can figure out what's really going on from a brain perspective. Or,
right.
You know, and to really, and I said this with Tess, but it's kind of like, you know, we always want to start where they're motivated. So if there's something that's particularly frustrating for them or difficult for them, it's a great place to start because they want to change the situation. So if they, you know, it makes them crazy when they are missing assignments, or if it makes them crazy when their backpack's disorganized, or whatever it is that's making them crazy, or when they get into arguments with people, you know. So it may be that that's a great place to start, is just kind of notice and pay attention to where their motivation lies. Is there anything else in particular, Kevin, that it would be helpful to kind of dig in a little bit for you? I know we've got a few more minutes here before we need to wrap up.
I've just been focusing on the homework. I think that's kind of our focus at the moment. I think we're going to kind of try to work on that before we move on to anything. You know, other than that, no, not doing badly. So we can solve that issue. Having him do what he needs to do on his own, that would be very helpful.
Yeah, and it's going to be, you know, it's going to be over time. And I think that that's the piece of this, is that it's, you know, it's an approach, not a solution. And so, you know, part of this is just trying a bunch of different things that, and seeing where you get his engagement and where you don't. And, you know, as a freshman, it's kind of like you're going to figure out kind of what his tolerance is for, you know, looking at what's going on versus, you know, where you still need to, you know, set a bar or set some boundaries for him. And it's kind of going to evolve over the next few years as he becomes more in the driver's seat, as you said, and you guys are less in the driver's seat. And but kind of keeping an eye on that and paying attention to kind of who's in charge. And I always say that kind of parents have three choices in any situation. You can be authoritative, you can be, which is you're going to tell them what they're going to do. You can be permissive, which is kind of you're going to let them do whatever they want to do, or you can be collaborative and you can problem solve with them. And, you know, and so I think that that's the piece, that the more we all can consciously decide in this situation, how am I best going to handle this situation? Am I going to set a boundary? Am I going to let them do what they want to do? Or am I going to partner with them to help them come up with the, you know, best solution, is kind of a great way to approach it.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, Tess, I just muted you because you got some background noise, I think, in there. So I want to do our wrap up. And the workbook, we're in page 23. So there's four questions we ask at the end of every call. The first one is, what did I focus on or pay most attention to today? What's my clarity? What's an aha or a takeaway? What's a realistic action step for me to take? And how can I set myself up for success with this action? So take a minute, jot down some notes, and we'd love to hear from both of you kind of what your takeaways are and what you want to do in terms of commitments for the next couple weeks. Whenever you're ready, Kevin, if you're ready, go ahead.
Yeah, I think I think clearly we focused on Daniel getting him to put the effort in and to do his homework and take ownership of it and not procrastinate and let things go undone. So I think we came up with a couple of ideas, which I think are good. One is, when he gets home, ask him to, what he's got to do and, when he's going to do it so he can kind of set up his plan. And so we all understand it and then we'll hold him accountable for that. And if he's claiming that he doesn't have any homework, then we'll ask him ways that he can make sure that he's not missing anything, either talking to a friend or checking his planner or the teacher's website or whatever.
So what do you think is going to be hard about that?
I think it's a good approach. I think he's still going to keep dragging his heels because he wants to go play. He'll have the option of doing it after dinner, which is, probably better for him. So I think the toughest thing probably is going to be making sure we catch all the assignments, or that he catches all the assignments. He doesn't let something slip through. Then he gets a bad grade and whatever, it kind of sets him back.
Yeah. Well, then that might be a whole other place to take aim at a future date, is to kind of say, what is it that's hard about making sure you grab every assignment? And that, is it different by class? Is it different by day? Is it different, what is it that kind of is getting in the way? And helping him to kind of look at where the opportunities lie can be another great place to take aim.
Okay.
Tess, what about you? Do you have yourself on mute?
Sorry, yeah. I obviously paid most attention to the activation of my own brain, realizing that, without adequate sleep and exercise and time for meditation personally, that I just have a really difficult time functioning and thinking clearly in my day. A realistic action step for me to take would be to go back to writing. I think writing directly into my calendar, time for workout or time for yoga, time for meditation, scheduling that in, as well as bedtime. And then really being aware of, time on social media so that I don't allow that to be a distraction for me. I think those are the main things. And I think the way for me to set myself up for success is I've got to be accountable. I think without that, then I can easily do my own thing or feel like I can handle it. But maybe, who can I be accountable to? If I write up a plan or something and then email that to you or something, would that work? Or I don't know.
Well, if you feel like you need some accountability, I think that you know, I think that you know, you could ask the group for accountability. You could certainly post it. You know, you could, you know, post it out on the Facebook forum, that sort of thing. If you want to tell me today that you're doing it, and we'll check up on it in 2 weeks when we meet again, you can do that. If you want to send me an email, I'm open to have you do that. That's fine.
Okay. Or I'm also in an ADD, an adult group, whatever, coaching group.
So maybe there's an accountability partner for you in that group as well.
Exactly. Maybe I can do that as well. I don't want to take away, like, this is meant to really be for parents in regards to their kids. And I want to say I really do appreciate Kevin and talking about his son, because I can relate completely for my 13-year-old, and you know, who respond, you know, behaves the same way, and I can follow through with the same, you know, with the same plan of action for my own son. It just lets me, you know, reminds me that I'm not alone and that others have the same challenge.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah, awesome.
So thank
awesome.
You. Yeah, great. It's very helpful. All very helpful.
All right, guys. Great call today. And this group will meet again in 2 weeks on the 26th. And next week there is a Lifeline call on Tuesday at noon Eastern time. Thanks.
Okay.
To both of you.
Great.
For
thanks.
Okay. Great. Thank you so
great.
Much.
Okay. Bye.
Thanks very much.
Bye.
The moderator has left the conference. The conference is now completed. Goodbye.